Our sermon and New Testament scripture reading comes from Colossians, as we are continuing through our series in the book of Colossians. So this morning we are going to read verses 22 through chapter 3, verses 22 through 4:1. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 through 4:1. Hear now the holy, inspired word of God. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. This is the word of God. Let's pray and ask his blessing on it. Lord our God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the salvation that you have given us in Christ. And we thank you for this holy calling to which you have called us to live as servants of the Lord Jesus. We pray that through your word, you would strengthen us as his servants, that we might live lives bearing fruit in every good work and fully pleasing to you, our Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, if you are united to Christ by faith, then you have been raised with Christ. If you've been raised with Christ, you are a new person. And you have a new calling. When you are redeemed in Christ, it changes everything about your life. It changes all of your relationships and every aspect of your life. And that's what Paul has been telling the Colossians in this series that we've been going through. He says, if you've been raised with Christ, then it changes your relationship with those in your church community. It transforms your relationships in your family. Fathers to sons, right? Parents to children, children to parents, husbands to wives to husbands. And this morning we see that it transforms not only your church community, not only your family, but your work. Transforms your work. Here, the Word of God has a message for masters and bondservants. Masters and bondservants. Now, as 21st century Americans, we hear masters and bondservants, and we think, well, you know, I'm not a bondservant to anybody, I'm not a master over anybody. So does the Word of God really apply to me here? Yes, it does. We were looking this morning at the fifth commandment as we were going through the catechism in Sunday school, and looking at how the command to honor our father and mother actually presses into all of our relationships with people who are positionally our superiors or positionally our inferiors or positionally our equals. So that includes employers and employees. So if you are a boss here, these words are for you. If you are an employee, these words are for you. If you are a teacher, these words are for you. If you're a student, these words are for you. So we're going to look here at what the Word of God says. How does being raised with Christ transform your role as a boss, as an employee, as a teacher, as a student, as a parent or child? Well, it transforms the manner of your work. It transforms the motive of your work. And then lastly, we'll see how it transforms, or we'll see how the Word of God has a word for masters. Okay, so first, Christ, your relationship with Christ transforms the manner of your work. First, we see that if you are in Christ, you are called to obey your earthly masters in everything. Obey, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. So this means that when you are working for someone, you're not only obeying them in the things that are easy, but in the things that are difficult. Not only in the things that are agreeable, but in the things that are disagreeable. You know, it's easy to do a job when you really like doing it. But when it's something you don't care so much for, it's a little more difficult. And Paul here says, obey not just in those things that are pleasant, but obey in those things that are unpleasant. So you're a student. You don't just obey your teacher in the assignments that you love to do, but in those assignments that you aren't so fond of. If you are an employee and your boss, right, sometimes you may find your boss to be unreasonable. This is just an unreasonable job. I don't know why the boss would expect me to do this. And the Word of God says, if you are serving Christ, you obey even in that. So we obey in everything, but also obey sincerely, with sincerity of heart. With sincerity of heart. The Greek there actually is single-minded. That is, you're obeying or you're working with integrity. What does it mean to be single-minded in your work or to work with integrity? Well, it means that you are working with the same excellence. You're working with the same heart, whether the boss is present or whether he's out of the room. And this is why Paul says, not by way of eye service as people pleasers. Now, what does it mean to work as an eye pleaser? It means that when your mom is standing outside, she's told you to clean your room, and she's standing outside the door, and you're cleaning. And as soon as she leaves, then you sit down on the bed and relax. That's the eye service. Or when the boss walks into the room, right? Suddenly you start working furiously at the computer, right? And you click off the articles that were distracting you. Right? Not by way of eye service or people pleasers, but with integrity or sincerity of heart. Do you work the same when you know someone's looking over your shoulder? As you do when no one's around. And Paul says, if you've been raised with Christ and Christ is in you, that is the kind of work, the life of work to which he has called you. Not as eye servants or as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart. And why? Why as a servant of Christ, why as a servant of the Lord, do you not work as an eye servant? Well, it's because you know that the eyes of the Lord, of your master, the Lord, are always on you. That's why he says, with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Remember, the eyes of the Lord are always, right, everywhere. They're present. The Lord sees. So when you are working hard, and your boss doesn't see the extra effort that you've put in to accomplish the task, the Lord sees that. Jesus sees that. And he rejoices in the work of you, his servant. So we work hard in everything with sincerity of heart, but the manner also extends to the wholeheartedness. So he says that you are to work wholeheartedly. Heartily is the word in the ESV here, heartily. But it means from the soul, from the heart. You know, perhaps you've seen workers on the job who just give everything to their work. For a summer, I worked in a roofing company, and there was a man there who was a worker. And every time, you know, we showed up for the job, I mean, he was the first guy up on the roof, and he just worked with all of his might and with all of his soul, you know, throughout the day. And he didn't let up because his whole heart was in the work, wholeheartedly. So when you're working wholeheartedly, it means you're not, you know, looking at the clock every 10 seconds and thinking, when is this job going to be over? Paul says to work heartily, and with excellence. And work heartily and with excellence. Now think of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, as we heard this morning, came, right, not to be served, but to serve. And as he was on this earth, he was showing us, right, the pattern of the servant. And what did he say about doing his Father's will, his Father's work? He said, it is written, right, in the scroll of me, behold, I delight to do your will. So the Lord calls you to delight in working. Delight in your work. And when you delight in your work, when your whole heart is in it, you're going to do it excellently. So if you're washing the dishes, right, what does it look like to wash the dishes heartily? You're scrubbing those dishes clean because you want them to sparkle when they're rinsed and dried off. That's working heartily. When I was in college, my grandparents took my brothers and I to do missions, to teach ESL in a foreign country. And it was a country which does not officially welcome missionaries. And so we were with this team teaching in a university. And this mission organization had been doing this work in this university for some years. Now, the officials knew that the group were Christians, and they knew that we were sharing the Bible with the students, and yet they welcomed this Christian group to come in. And why? Because the Christian teachers, they knew, did an excellent job. They were trustworthy. There are many many in the world going to this country to teach ESL as well, but the officials said these Christians are reliable. They always show up on time, and they pour themselves into the work of teaching these students. What a testimony to the life of Christ and his people. That is the life of work to which the Lord has called you. So your relationship with Christ transforms the manner of your work, but also it also transforms the motive. See, what's the basis? What's the reason that you would obey your earthly employees, your masters, your teachers in everything, and do it sincerely with integrity of heart, not as an I servant, and heartily? Well, it's because when you are serving your teacher, you're serving your boss, serving your parents, you are actually not serving your parents, boss, and teacher. You're serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord Jesus. And that's really the center of this passage as Paul preaches, where he says, remember that you are serving the Lord Christ. So when you work heartily, your motivation is not working heartily for men, but you're working heartily as for the Lord. So when you are writing that paper, you're writing that paper for the Lord Jesus. Isn't that amazing to think? When you show up on the job site and you are you're weeding you're weeding or cutting the grass, or you're hammering nails into a deck. You're serving the Lord Jesus. You're doing that for the Lord Jesus. So as you work, remember who you are working for. You're working for the Lord Jesus. He is your master, and he sees your work. And when you work heartily as unto him, he delights in that. But if Jesus is our master, he's also a master who rewards his servants richly. And the second aspect of motivation here, Paul says, is the inheritance. Remember that when you are working for the Lord Jesus, remember that you have an inheritance in heaven. Right? He says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. What a remarkable thing for a servant or a slave in that day to be told, you have an inheritance in heaven for your reward. You know, in that day, sons of wealthy people had inheritances. Servants and slaves didn't have inheritance. But Paul here says, remember that you have an inheritance that's undefiled and unfading in heaven, reserved for all who are being guarded through faith. That's your inheritance. And that transforms your life, doesn't it? When you have a perspective, you're thinking about the inheritance that is laid up for you in heaven. This is part of what Paul means when he says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Your inheritance is above with Christ. He says, keep your eye on that. And when you have your eye on that, your perspective totally changes. At the beginning of the letter in Colossians, Paul writes to the Colossians and he says, we always thank God when we pray for you because ever since we heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. He says, you have this love for all the saints because you know that you have a hope laid up for you in heaven. And that really changes things, doesn't it? See, why are we tempted to grumble when we're working? Well, if you think about it. If you're working for a job and the boss is not looking and you think, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to get paid the same whether I do a good job or a half-baked job. But if you remember, I'm serving the Lord and the inheritance of Christ himself is my reward. That gives you the motivation to serve him heartily. And Christ is a generous master. Christ is a generous master. You have a great treasure in heaven with Christ. Ultimately, because Christ himself is the treasure. And as his servant, one day you're going to stand in his presence with him in all of his glory. So your relationship with Christ transforms the manner of your work. It transforms the motive of your work. But finally, in this passage, although Paul has been speaking to servants for the bulk of this, he has a word for masters as well. And Paul here says, masters, treat your servants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So he says, if you are in charge, if you have authority to make someone work or to give work to someone, Paul here says, remember to treat those under you justly and fairly, because just like your servants, you also have a master in heaven. You've got the same master. Now, so if you are you're an employer, how do you treat your employees? If you're a parent, you know, how do you treat your children as you assign them chores? Or you're a teacher, how do you treat your students as you assign them work to do? Well, Paul says, treat them fairly and justly. Tend to their needs, right? And treat them kindly. I have a brother that works in corporate America, and in his company is constantly looking to get more work for less money. And the people in his office are just burdened and consistently burdened. And you know, for the company, my brother said he and his coworkers are just a number that will either increase or decrease their revenue. That's the way the world thinks. But Jesus here says, when you are my servant, right, you care for those who are under you. You treat them justly and fairly. Think about how Jesus treats you as his servants. He shed his own blood to purchase you for himself. And he provides for you daily. And he makes sure that you have everything you need. And you know, he doesn't simply make sure that you have what you need as you serve him. But he is abundant and lavish in his goodness. That's what we saw back in the fall as we were looking through, studying Psalm 145. Right? The Lord is good to all. He satisfies the desires of every living thing. Jesus is not looking just to get work out of you, but he cares for you, and he is good as a master. So if you're in the position of authority over someone else, you're called to imitate the master in the way you treat those under you. But secondly, I want you to notice, and as we've been looking at this passage, here we're looking at Paul speaking about masters and bondservants. And this, in the Roman days, there was this institution of slavery. And masters had servants that they owned in a fuller sense than employers today own the work of their employees. And in those days as well, there was often abuse in those master-slave relationships. The masters would not always treat their slaves fairly and justly because they knew that the servants had to serve them. But as Paul is addressing this situation, I want you to notice what his emphasis here is. His emphasis is not on political and social revolution, but rather his emphasis is on preaching the gospel and calling people to life, a new life in Christ. And that's because Paul recognized that society ultimately is not transformed through political revolutions and social revolutions. But society is transformed by the gospel. His focus here is on the vertical relationship, your vertical relationship with the Lord. Because when your vertical relationship with the Lord is right, then all of the horizontal relationships fall into proper place. Now, if you look at history, it's interesting that you see this played out. Because as the gospel spread throughout the Roman Empire, then people came to faith, then the institution of slavery died out in Rome. As people began to look at one another as brothers and sisters made in the image of God. But it begins with the gospel. Right? Everything flows from our relationship with the Lord. And that's why this is Paul's focus in this word. So remember, Christ is your master. You are serving the Lord Jesus. So tomorrow, when you go to the classroom, tomorrow when you go to the office, when you show up at the job site, remember that you're working for the Lord Jesus. You are his servant. So work heartily for him, knowing that you're serving him, knowing that you have an inheritance in heaven. You're serving the Lord Jesus. And one day you're going to see the master with your own eyes. One day you're going to hear his voice. And there will be nothing better than to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, enter the joy of your master." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you as our good master, as our Lord in heaven. We thank you that you purchased us with your blood, and we thank you that you have filled us with your life, raising us up with you. And so we pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit as we work this week and we labor for you. Help us, Lord Jesus, by your power to work in a manner that brings glory and honor to your name. We love you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.